Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us to be still, even this morning as the word is proclaimed, as we have Rachel come and share a bit of his journey with us. We pray, Lord, there will be stillness within our hearts in a world that is full of trouble, that is full of tumult and difficulties, Lord. Help us to know your presence, your sovereignty within our lives, within our world. Lord, we commit ourselves to you this morning, to hear even as your Spirit woos us, speaks to our heart, Lord. Help us to reach out and touch you and know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to ask Ray to come up to the platform today. Ray is going to be leaving us here this week very shortly. And so I asked him to come up and share a little bit of his testimony in terms of some questions we talked about. And so, Ray, where exactly is it that you're going? What location is it that you're planning to go to?
So I'm actually going to the Alliance Bible Seminary in Hong Kong. I've never been to the school, but it's actually up on a hill in a small island called Changzhou in Hong Kong. It's kind of easy to see here. So in that island, the respective size to Hong Kong. Hong Kong's really small already, but the island is like...
So I understand there's no cars there, right?
Yeah, no cars. So the only vehicles are emergency vehicles.
So you'll be a fit seminary student.
Yes. I'll be going up the mountain, going up the hill pretty much every day.
And so this will be your first time studying theological courses and
correct.
Whatnot.
Yeah, so first time.
What kind of courses or things will be studying there?
Actually, my first semester is going to be the ones listed up there. Teaching method, church history, New Testament Greek, pastoral, personal growth, and systematic theology.
Okay, and how does your mom and dad feel about all this and seeing you go off to Hong Kong?
Actually, that's part of being a teacher in God's presence in my family. In the sense that my parents and extended family has received blessing for them.
Excellent. And so I see we need to pray for you in some of these prayer requests.
Yeah, here. Definitely not. I haven't taken school, let alone in Chinese, let's say in English, since 2008 in SFU. So it's been 7 years plus now, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. And I was never really a studious student, so that's going to be harder. of course, there's a language barrier because the courses being conducted in Chinese, biblical terms, Chinese culture, and Chinese textbooks. But thank God I can write in English for papers and test exams. So I actually don't know. God's vision. I think God's vision for me is to become a international worker. It's become also my dream, and although I don't know how to do it because I'm not sure I'm going to be graduating from school. With having all those concerns, but I hope through God's grace I'm able to do it. Share a little story. When I'm back here from China last year, I'm still debating if I should go to seminary school or this school to be exact. I still, it took me a good 2-3 months to decide if I want to go back to school and go to seminary. Leaving home, right? So, I need to clear my mind, right? I knew God told me to do something, but I'm not sure if this is the thing God wants you to do as the next step. So, I love bike rides. I love taking my bike and riding around town a little bit further. Not. So, why I love it, it clears my mind. I'm like, God, this bike trip, show me something. Tell me something that you want me to go to school. You want me to do this. So I took my bike out, rode up to Barnett Mini Park, rode around there, came back, and like literally like 50 meters away from my home. I still don't have, an answer. But this verse all of a sudden came to me. God spoke to me from Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Through the short-term missions and the little lengthier mid-term mission I did last week, one thing I really learned is it's not what I can offer God, what I can do for God. Honestly, if you ask me what can I do for God, I'll be like, I don't know, sweep the floors or clean dishes. Even then, I'm not that good at home, right? So, what I learned is offer up yourself to God, and God will use you. The verse says, "Who shall I send?" Not God didn't ask, "I want a carpenter. I want a cook." Yes, "Who shall I send?" Offer yourself up to God. God will definitely use me, with you, wherever you are.
Excellent. Thank you, Ray. We're going to ask a few of our deacons and elders to come up on the stage here at this point. And also I'm going to ask Michelle and Cindy and Peter, if you would come up too to pray for your son. So come on down. I didn't set you guys up before this. I hope you'll forgive me for that. So come on up front here. And elders, deacons, come on up to the front. And we'll be praying for Ray here today. Also, you might not be aware of this, but we have several people that are leaving us over the course of this week. One is Obadiah Kim. Stand up, Obadiah, so we know who you are. He's Korean in background, and he works with a Korean organization called Team and Team. He's going off to Kenya, and he'll be doing water ministry and also doing a conference there in Kenya. So we'll want to be praying for Obadiah as well. And then Tu and Han are here in our presence as well. Tu and Han, would you guys stand up? They're going to be going back to Taiwan to work with the Vietnamese diaspora, and they'll be there for another year before coming back again to North America. Also, Esther Law is, they mentioned this to me, you know, when we were downstairs, Esther. Esther's going to be flying with Ray off to Hong Kong. She's going to be working in Hong Kong. So we want to definitely remember Esther as well. So all these people are going to be going out from us. They are really our hands and our feet, these ones that have been amongst us, serving God, worshiping with us. We want to send them off with a blessing. So would the rest of the congregation stand with us? And if you would be so bold, if you're standing around Obadiah or some of these other ones, lay hands on them. Not, you know, forcefully, but maybe just, you know, lightly. And we'll do the same up here with Ray. And I will lead us in prayer over these ones today. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your blessings upon us as a family, as a church family. We thank you, Lord, that you have given these ones to us as our church family members. We thank you, Lord, this morning for Ray and how he's been led by you. Over the years, I've seen him as a young man growing in our church, growing in way of stature as well as spiritually. I thank you for the mission trips that you've led him on in these past years. And Lord, how you've given him a hunger and a passion for your name. We pray for him as he's feeling a total lack in way of language ability and just all that Chung Cha Island will procure for him in way of his studies. We pray, Lord, that you would so enable him, that you would so bless him with insight and keen study ability in way of his courses. Lord, we know that it's tough to come back to studies after several years of being away from them. We also pray for his family that are here standing on stage with us this morning, that you would bless them as We know it's hard for family members to go off, and thank you for bringing Cindy back to us from Korea just this past month. And we pray, Lord, that now as they go in different directions, we pray that you would continue to strengthen them to honor you in their lives. Thank you, Lord, for Obadiah. Pray for him as he goes off to Kenya, West Africa, and pray, Lord, that you would bless his water ministry there, conference that he'll be at. Pray for him that you would keep him safe, as we know there's much difficulty in Sudan at this time. We pray for so many refugees there in this part of the world. We pray that Obadiah would just be able to orchestrate things well there, and that wells will be dug and people will be nurtured physically as well as spiritually through the TMNT ministries. Lord, we thank you for Esther. Thank you for the work that she has in Hong Kong. We pray for her as she departs from us. Pray that you'll bless her work, and thank you so much for her long presence with us growing up here in the church. Pray, Lord, that you would bless her in every way as she goes, and thank you, Lord, for her ongoing ministry as she's had with us in playing the bass and also going out so often with us to minister in the senior homes. Lord, we pray for Tu and Han. Thank you, Lord, for this brother and sister, and we pray for them as they go out from our midst, Lord, again to Taiwan to minister in this last year to minister to the Vietnamese diaspora. Give them wisdom. Give them your strength and your power and your spirit and your enablement. Lord God, thank you for all these ones that we call brothers and sisters that go out all around our world to serve you. We pray all these things in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you guys for praying along with us. It's so great to see people leaving and coming. As mentioned, Cindy's back after a year hiatus off to Korea. So it's good to have Cindy back. And I think Dorian has been back, graduated from a university in Ontario and been back. And several people have been coming and going here in our midst. So please do go up and talk to them. Obadiah gave me a little pamphlet here, Water Ministry. If you want to read this pamphlet, go and talk to him during our coffee time after the service and find out a little bit more about what he's going to be involved with in this next week. We have so much to be thankful for in this week, and we got blessed as a family this past week. My wife, myself, Kimberly, Travis, we stopped in at Camp Kakawa in Hope, B.C., and had an opportunity to be there with a camp that was from age 10 to 12 and about 30 different counselors and staff that were there. And we had the opportunity to do some painting in their boulder room. And I made several trips out to the dump to get rid of some of the garbage that had collected and it wasn't being used anymore at the camp. We had a lot of opportunity to go swimming with the kids and learn some of their cheers. And we were thankful afterwards when we came away because we could actually talk to each other around the table because they were chanting so much and having such a great time at Camp Kakawa. So if you do have the opportunity, it's a great camp, and they're actually doing a lot of construction there, doing a lot of building, and it is an alliance camp. And so many workers there and also the kids come from alliance churches all over the Fraser Valley. Also, this weekend, I have my mother with me, Jean Anderson. There she is. All the way from Kelowna, B.C., brave the Coquihalla, coming down just before all that almost snowstorm in the weather patterns this past Friday. It was just terrible. A lot of cars flipped over and stuff, but somehow she made it through. So I'm very happy to have my mom with me. And I'm preaching this morning on stillness. being still before God. And my mother can testify that if, they had diagnosed or had a diagnosis of ADHD, I would probably have that condition. I would have been probably had Ritalin and all the rest of it because I was a very active child. Even this morning, she was reminiscing and saying, well, she was wanting to make a trip to Italy this next year and saying, Larry, you remember how you were, running around, jumping in the fountains and pushing over the marble statues in Italy? Well, we lived in France for about 4 years while my dad was stationed there on an Air Force base. So we did have a lot of opportunity to travel around in Europe. And being a small kid and very active, I was always chasing pigeons around the squares and jumping in and out of the fountains and very active child. So when I'm talking about trying to be still, this message is really for me as well, because I find it sometimes very difficult to actually calm down and be still and know that God is who He says He is. And so this morning, I take this passage from Psalm 49 that says, 46, verse 10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Stillness reminds us that God has commanded us to stop. To stop. Just stop, not because the task is finished, but because God has commanded and demanded it of us. Sometimes there's nothing harder than for us to just stop and be still. Nothing less than the force of a command from the Lord God could actually, result in our stopping and being still. Stopping our work and making time for God is crucial for us in our spiritual lives. Stopping reorientates our inner compass to the true north of God's centrality in our lives. Stopping helps us to question the world's assumptions and values and focuses us on that we are God's beloved child. Stopping helps us know God. Be still and know that I am God. We have to get off the merry-go-round and know God. Today I have some principles on stillness to help us, to guide us in way of what it means to be still and how to do that. Really, in stillness we are enabled, we are transformed, we are empowered to live the Christian life before God. And certainly it enlarges our hearts. Stillness is part of every biological process that we know of. There's a remarkable rhythm in life. All nature has times of growth and productivity, but it also has times of rest and quietness. We have the spring and summer, and then we have the fall and winter and the seasons of our world. Farmers have learned that it's important to let crops be circulated and also to give fields a time of no planting. They call it fallowing the ground. And so they don't plant a crop, but just let, whatever grows, grow there. And then they replant their crops in the following year. The variation of timing and duration of biological activity in living organisms occurs for many essential biological processes to really have and bring about truth and life and vitality. As human beings, we know the importance of resting in our physical person, but also we need to know that there needs to be rest in our spiritual person. After each creative process in Genesis, God said, "It is good." He took the time to look over His creation And every time he saw what he had created, he said, it's good. And so he didn't continue to work ongoingly, but he paused after each activity to be able to evaluate it, to assess it, and say those words. We don't see the understanding of rest again until we come to the point of Exodus 16 and talking about Sabbath rest. In Exodus 16, when Moses explains to the people how God will provide food for them as they traverse or go through the desert, he tells them that every day they can go out and gather this stuff that will fall from heaven called manna. And when they gather it, to just gather enough for that day. And they'll be provided for each day that they're traveling around. But on the Saturday, or on the Friday, on the Jewish Friday, they said, Moses said, you can gather twice as much for the Sabbath. And on that Sabbath day, you are to rest. You're not to gather any. And so the people, when the manna had fallen, that first day, they went out and some gathered a lot, and some gathered a little, but they found that they had enough for that next day. And so it was gone, and some of them gathered so much that it started to rot for that next day, and maggots came in, and it was just a mess, and Moses got angry at them. And he said, didn't you hear what I had to say? Each day God will provide. And then you are on that seventh day to rest. The principle of rest was built in even in creation in those early days with Moses and the traversing through the desert. Biologically, God has infused his creation with a rest component. Physical rest repairs and rebuilds our body and mind. When we exert ourselves physically and mentally, we long for the restoration of our energy. Research has shown that both the physical stress of manual labor and the emotional stress requires subsequent rest for the body and mind to recuperate. Physical rest actually is a gift from God. God building in the need for the rest in our lives of his creation is really a gift of grace. Psalm 127 says, God gives his beloved a rest in sleep. The nights that I sleep well, I get up in the morning and I feel like I can tackle the day. I feel most productive. I'm thankful for the infinite God that grants to me, a finite man, the ability to rest. In fact, it's impossible for a finite being like you and I to live well without rest. Secondly, stillness fills you with energy, fills up our tanks. Dr. Swenson, in his book Margin, talks about our energy reserves container. He talks about a shallowness, a surface kind of reserved energy, and then a deeper energy. If we do not replenish that shallow energy and with rest and refill our tank, we'll find that that energy level gets depleted and it takes longer and longer to fill that tank back up. So he talks about how sometimes we find ourselves just lacking energy so much in our lives that we think just a short rest, maybe a week holiday or doing something different will fill our tank back up. But the problem is that we've been so busy and overtaxed that we've drained the tank so much that we've gone down to those deep energy levels in our psyche, in our person, that just don't take kind of a surface filling. They take a deep and a longer time to fill up that tank. Consider these scenarios. You attend a four-hour meeting in which not a single second is wasted, but during the final 2 hours, your energy level drops. and you struggle to stay focused. Second scenario, you race through a meticulously scheduled 12-hour day, but by midday, your energy level tanks, making you edgy, irritable, and impatient. Thirdly, you set aside time for your kids in the evening. But when you get home, you find yourself distracted with concerns from work and not able to give your family the full attention they deserve. Energy and not time is really the component that so many of us overlook. It's a fundamental currency. Everything we do, from our interactions at work to our time with our colleagues to our time with our family, involves energy. We often fail to take into account our energy levels. Sufficing to throw some time or little thought into the activity, and we suffer for it. The result is little focus and scattered energy, resulting in a sense that we're just skimming the surface in life and in our relationships. Stillness gives us a chance not only to recharge our batteries, it also gives us a chance to evaluate and prioritize our lives and focuses that limited energy where it needs to go. Exodus chapter 20, verse 9 through 11 says this: 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Sabbath keeping is not merely good advice. It's made there and fit into the very knit of our creation account, and also in the very fabric of God's commands, his Ten Commandments, to his people. Sabbath helps us to contend with what is most important in our lives: how we are living in relation to God, how we are to live for eternity, our work, our relationships. What actually drives us to unrest is rooted in a heart of idolatry. For example, the workaholic sacrifices rest to the god of success, power, and productivity. The pattern can be seen in almost every area of our lives. The good news is that God is not silent, and our need for rest has not come to us in a sense that telling us that it's not important, but that it is important, that we should rest, and God has commanded us to rest. The Bible is very clear that humans need rest. And interestingly enough, God teaches us that rest actually honors him. How is that so? God handles the world quite well, while on his own, without any of our help. God is sovereign over our whole world. God is telling us that, hey, I've got this. You don't have to get so worked up about it. Leave it in my capable hands. John Piper once said, "Sleep is like a broken record that comes around and with the same message every day. Man is not sovereign. Man is not sovereign." We've all heard that we need to work hard. We've got a hard work ethic. Nothing wrong with hard work. In seminary, I heard often from my fellow students how they were planning to do an all-nighter. And so I thought, well, this is what you have to do to get by in seminary. So, Ray, this is particularly for you. When you're in seminary and the classes are getting heavy and you're thinking, how am I going to accomplish everything? Man, maybe I just need to chunk out another 12 hours so that I can accomplish that. Well, I tell you, I tried it once. I did a full 12 hours, no sleep, and just went into the next day. But you know, that whole next day and the rest of that week was a write-off. I was a bit of a basket case. I was kind of a walking zombie. Yeah, I was in all my classes and doing all the things, but I was half there. And what made it more difficult for me is that I was working part-time as an x-ray technologist. I was also on student council. I had classes to prepare for in the church that I was attending. And so I had a lot of extracurricular stuff that I was doing, not only doing my seminary courses. And so I was feeling really toasted. And after that occasion, I just said to myself and I said to God, I'm never going to do that again. And I never did. Throughout my seminary education, those 3 years, I never did an all-nighter. I worked it out that I said to myself, if I end up with a B instead of an A, that's okay. I'm obeying God's word to myself and needing the rest that my body and my mind needs. How silly it is for us to think that we don't need sleep and rest, and we sacrifice it to gain control of our world and our lives. I think for all of us, we need to see the importance here and the prioritizing of rest and being still before God. Lastly, stillness builds faith in God Himself. I am convinced that Sabbath is necessary to discipline us in way of workaholism. As I said, we are very driven people. We want to succeed. We want to gain the material world's wealth. And so we work diligently and we work hard to accomplish that. We have a tendency to use our time to more enhance all that we are, especially in terms of the world in which we live, in the material world. Having Sabbath as a principle in our lives takes the control out of our hands and puts it in God's hands. Just like we have an offering in way of keeping the needs of the church before us, but also a discipline of offering our finances towards God. It's to say, my finances aren't my God. God is my God. It's not how much money I have in my pocket that gives me life, that gives me strength and the ability to live. But it's God Himself. Sabbath is a wall making it difficult for us to go beyond and gain maybe all the wealth and the things of this life, saying that these things of this life are not all that's all important, but rather God is more important. The Sabbath is not meant to be a law that one keeps, but rather a principle of time and life management. By this, I don't mean that it should be a legal requirement for us to keep a day of Sabbath, but rather that it should be a principle that we should try to build in our lives, that we have a principle of rest at least once a week. In keeping a Sabbath, we express our love and devotion to God. We evaluate our lives. We take time aside to think about, where am I going? What am I doing? We have tried as a family to keep a principle of Sabbath. So, you know, my daughter will say, well, you know, I don't want to take work or have to work on a Sunday. I'd rather keep that, you know, day for doing things that relate to the church and towards God. As a family, sometimes we find we run out of milk or some basic necessity on a Sunday. And so we'll say, well, you know, we're not legalists. We're not going to just not go to the grocery store because it's a Sabbath day. We'll go into the grocery store and pick up a carton of milk or some eggs or maybe a basic necessity. And we won't, though, go further and do more shopping. Well, sometimes I get tempted, as this past week, we did just that happen. Sabbath, we ran out of milk. We went into the grocery store. And my wife said, oh, there's a thrift store right over there, you know, and it's right next to the grocery store. And, you know, I said, well, that's nice. It's a nice thrift store. And why don't we go in there, honey? You know, you really want to. And then she said, stop. No, we shouldn't go in there. It is the Sabbath day, and we shouldn't go and go into the thrift store. So it takes both of us, and it takes the family to keep those checks and keep reminding us that we need to be still to rest, to reflect on what God is doing in our lives and what life is really all about, and keeping God central. God intended us to sleep and to rest. If you're like me, you probably have trouble sleeping sometimes because you get worried about a lot of different things. Jesus is pretty clear about the fact that we shouldn't worry, that He is there for us, that He cares for the birds of the air. In Matthew chapter 6, there's a passage there that talks all about how God cares for every living thing, and that we need not worry, and that worry is just a lack sometimes of our faith and trust in God. So I've learned to lie down and sleep. It helps me when I say, God, I rest myself in You. Even though there is a ton to do and lots to worry about, You are working and in perfect control, so I can trust You to handle it, to rest myself in Him. I want you to close your eyes right now. Put your hands in your lap. And I want you to take a moment to be still before God. And as we're taking that moment, I'm going to welcome our worship team up to lead us, giving us a moment to be still before Him, to know that He is a God and that He is exalted in the nations and exalted in the earth.
Sometimes we wonder why we couldn't be just like the apostles and the disciples, where they go out and they speak to the world with the power from the Spirit. I sometimes ask myself that too. And I see some other people around me, they can go out with that boldness and also with that power from the Spirit. These people spend their time in stillness with God, spend their time in communing with God. Today, if this is your desire to have that same power in you, you gotta make a choice. Even resting is a disciplined thing. Resting in the Lord is a disciplined thing. In response, if you believe that there's more than just our mundane and walking daily lives and want God to fill you up, fresh with the Holy Spirit today. I just encourage you to sing this song with me with all that you can. Standing, lifting up your holy hands. Just focus your attention to it. There must be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Comes, we cannot just not give our lives up to God. When the Spirit of God comes, lives are transformed, lives are changed. So if you want to be transformed today, give your heart to Him. Devote yourself to Him. Ask Him to stir up a heart of fire in you. Sing this. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts. Passion for your name. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts. Passion. Hold back now. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Come on. Consuming fire.
God gives us passion. Passion to live life. He also gives us great grace to rest in Him. To know that He can accomplish far more than we can ever imagine. Receive God's benediction upon your hearts today. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Amen. Please be seated.